شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Yesterday we celebrated the birth anniversary of our second Imam, Al-Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. Our second Imam is highly respected by all Muslims by the virtue primarily because he is the first grandson of the Prophet of Islam, and he was part of some of the important events mentioned in the Quran along with his grandfather. Sometimes when we celebrate the events about Ahlul Bayt in the month of Ramadan, people say, you know, month of Ramadan is the month of Allah. Why do you want to focus on Ahlul Bayt? We have all other months to do that. And this is where we have to realize that if you look at the famous khutbah of the Prophet welcoming the month of Ramadan, which different parts of that khutbah, I've been using it in various khutbahs previously, there is one statement, very interestingly, where he says what you should do in the month of Ramadan. How should you multiply the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is one line where he says, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ فِيهِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ. Whoever increases during this month the salawat on me, سَقَّلَ اللَّهُ مِيزَانَهُ يَوْمَ تُخَفِّفُ الْمَوَازِينَ. Whoever increases his salawat during this month on me, the Prophet says, that on the day when the scales will be light, the scales of good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make them more heavier because of the salawat. We have actually some hadith where people on the day of Qiyamah will be surprised when the symbolic scale of good deeds and bad deeds are put on the opposite sides, and they will be worried, you know, that the scale of the good deeds is lighter. Then, you know, the malaika will come in and put extra weight on it, and he will be surprised. I don't know why, you shouldn't be asking, it's going to be good in your side. But anyway, they said, what's going on? And they said, this is the weight of the salawat that you recited on Rasulullah and his family. Salawat. It's not an issue of just, you know, because we love the family of the Prophet, you know, we should be doing it. It is actually the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ahzab, ayat number 33, Surah 33, ayat 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily Allah and His malaika, they do the salawat on the Nabi, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And how do you do the salawat? There is a very famous mufassir among the Sunni scholars. You know, many tafasir are written in different styles, the methodology. Jalaluddin Suyuti wrote a tafsir known as Ad-Durrul Manthur, which is actually based on Riva'i or Hadithi tafsir. And there he has a narration, and this is actually one out of his 19 ahadiths under this ayat. And one of them where he says, and he is quoting people like Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, and many others. It's the six famous books of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and many others. And the narration is that a person came to the Prophet after listening to this ayat. He says, Ya Rasulullah, amma salat alayka faqad alimnahu. As far as you know, doing the salam on you, we know how to do it. فَكَيْفَ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْكَ How do we do the salawat on you? And this is where the Prophet says, قُلْ Say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Salawat. Of course, the Prophet mentioned the longer version of it. كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The main point here is that, you know, the Prophet, he mentioned himself as well as آل محمد in that salawat. And this is about 18 to 19 ahadith from Imam al-Din, Jalaluddin Suyuti. But it's amazing that Muslims all, including the Wahhabis, say we love the Ahlul Bayt. Because they know if anybody verbally denies loving the Ahlul Bayt, his iman is suspect. They know that reality. But when it comes to the practical issue, just look at the salawat. Majority of the khutbas of the scholars, they will just talk about the Prophet and omit Ali Muhammad in their salawat. However, there is one point where they are forced, especially when they come, especially in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their daily prayers. Allah is everywhere, of course. But I'm making a point here that when they stand up on their musalla, where they are now focusing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they reach to the stage of tashahud, after saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, and after saying ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, the salawat that they recite there is a complete salawat with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad in it. Salawat upon the Akbar. I can never forget in early 90s, somebody gave me a copy of a magazine which was being issued from Jeddah, a monthly magazine which had a column of religious questions which were answered those days by the Mufti of Saudi Arabia by the name of Sheikh bin Baz. And one of the questions there was about this, you know, when we take the name of the Prophet, the questioner says, you know, we use different styles. And is it okay? And he responds by saying that it doesn't matter. You can, you know, use whatever style you want. But when you stand up in your salat, and when you come into tashahud, then you should say, كَمَا عَلَّمَ النَّبِي أَصْحَابُهُ Then you should remember Rasulullah the way the Prophet taught his companions. And what is that? He adds there, and you should say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. I don't know, you want to be Sunni only in salawat, in the salat, and after that when you give khutbah, you don't really want to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. You know, this is where sometimes I understand the title given by Dr. Tijani to his one of his books where he says, Ash-Shia hum ahl sunnah. Because when you recite the salawat in a complete form, you are actually following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So take the benefit of this holy month of Ramadan. And besides the tasbih that you do normally, you know, make a point at least to recite one tasbih entirely on the salawat on Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our tawfiqat and give us the wisdom to understand the reality of fasting during this month and accept our amal inshaAllah. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموت الحسنة قادة الأمم وولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة مما سلف من ذنوبكم Keeping the related occasion of the second Imam in mind, I would like to leave you with a message that when we study the seerah of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, we should not isolate one event and make that as a general rule for all times and all places. The seerah of the Ahlul Bayt till the time of Ghaybat al-Sughra, where the Imam was accessible to the community, that consists of almost 2 centuries and few years. So it's a long time period where the community went through different situations. And the Imams also in different situation, you know, basically their strategy was different from the others. And this is where when you, for example, when you study the life of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, you see the difference in their strategies. Imam Hassan at the end, you know, decided to make peace with Muawiyah. Whereas Imam Hussein alayhi salam at the end, you know, decided to confront Yazid, even at the expense of losing his life and those of his family members and companions. And so sometimes, you know, people have this, a Shia wouldn't really say that, but in their mind, sometimes this issue comes up. Was Hussein more courageous than Hassan? And this is where we have to realize that no, it is not an issue one was courageous, the other was not. Both were Imams. Both were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet says in one of the statements that we have, Huma Imaman. Both of these sons of mine, Hassan and Hussein, are Imams. Qama aw qa'ada. Whether they sit, they stand up and confront the enemy and fight, or they sit down and make peace. Time-wise, if you reverse, you bring Hassan to Karbala and Hussein to Kufa, you would see that Hussein would have done the same thing which Hassan did in Kufa, and Hassan would have done the same thing which Hussein did in Karbala. It is not that one was courageous and the other was not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sajda, ayat number 24, talks about the role of the Imams. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have appointed some among the people, a'immatan, as leaders. Although the ayat is in a historical context, but the meaning of this and the message is universal. What is their role? Yahduna bi'amrina. They provide guidance to the people according to our command. And so the difference actually is not in the purpose. It is more in the strategies. And the strategies depend on the circumstances. Muawiyah was different from Yazid. And so Imam Hassan alayhi salam looked at that situation, the circumstances, who is there on the other side, and then adopted a method which was better for the ummah, especially for the survival of the small, a very, very small Shia community at that time. Even Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, many times we, as I said, you know, we focus on one event and forget what was before and what was after it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's imamat didn't start on that year of Karbala. His imamat, first 10 years of his imamat was during the last 10 years of Muawiyah's rule. Hussein ibn Ali of Karbala did not adapt that method. For 10 years, he continued with the peace agreement signed between his brother and Muawiyah. So you have the same imam. In the first 10 years, he has one strategy. And in the last year and a half or year, when Yazid comes in, his strategy changes. This is where we have to realize that you cannot take one event and make it a, you know, general guide for all the times and all the places in the history of the Shias. Not only this example of Hassan and Hussein, or Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself, even if you look at the seerah of the Prophet, his Makki era is different from his Madani era. In Mecca, he's a minority. In Medina, he is there as the head of state in a way. Strategies change. Purpose is always the same. You know, their purpose and aim was always the same, but how they conducted themselves, especially against the opponent, depend on the situation and the circumstances. And so we had to learn the lesson from that. Our aqidah and belief will not change with passage of time and, you know, place. Our basic values will not change. But how we conduct ourselves vis-a-vis socio-political issues of the time, that depends entirely on the circumstances that a community finds itself, time-wise and place-wise. And our response has to keep the audience, they are in front of you, and the environment in mind. And that is where you will be able to deal with the challenges in a wise manner. You know, I'll just give you one example. The day before yesterday, in Toronto Star, there was an article about the Saudi Crown Prince. I urge you, go to the website and look for it. 30th of May, on the opinion section of that newspaper. There is a very good article, very well written, by a Muslima. And it has been written in such a way, this is what I'm talking about. Our style, talking to our own people in the Masajid and the Husainiyas, is different. When you go outside, you have to see who is your audience. What language do they understand? When I'm talking about language, I'm not saying English or French or Urdu, Arabic, no. You know, what kind of discourse they will be able to relate to. Look at this article. Read it. That, I would say, is an example of how we have to conduct on these issues in a way that a non-Muslim, secular Canadian reader will read it till the end and will not find anything that he or she can object to that. And this is where we have to learn this, that, you know, we are in a different place, different environment. Our strategy and our way of dealing with issues has to be based on the circumstances that we find ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom and the courage, you know, to always be with the haqq, but in the way which is, you know, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وعمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه، وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها، وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام، وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم يا ابنة الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغ والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.